Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. How you doing, 5 p.m. service? You doing well? Man, I'm so excited to preach tonight. This is going to be fun. Who likes to have fun at church? I like to have fun at church. I think the touch of God is here tonight. I think people are going to get set free from something tonight. I'm not sure what you're walking in with or what you're carrying or what you're in right now, but I know some people are going to be set free from something tonight. But you may be seated. Thank you so much, worship team. You guys are phenomenal. I'm going to go ahead and get straight into this because I have way too many notes and, I've only got 90 minutes, and so every time there's a nervous laugh, every time someone believes that, they think that we've just changed it all around, and we've just tricked you. 2-hour service. Kidding. But the title of my message tonight is Identity Theft. Identity Theft. Quite a good graphic there. Thank you, Paul Churchwood. If you're listening to this, we love you. But the title of my message is Identity Theft. Let's pray and let's get into this. God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for South Campus. Tonight I pray that people would find, God, who they are called to be in you, in Jesus' mighty name. God, let me preach quickly and swiftly so that we can get out of here and get to Lolitas in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone's already thinking about that California burrito. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had something stolen from you before? Yeah. I remember back in Australia, one day parking my car out the front of the mall, going in to buy something, probably a men's health magazine, something like that, I don't know. I went in, 5 minutes later I came out and my car, the window had been smashed and my laptop was stolen. And so I chased down this gang of guys, 20 of them, and I said, "Hey, give me my laptop back." "Why are you laughing?" And so I took 18 of them down. No, I'm kidding. I didn't take them down. I didn't know they smashed my window. They took my laptop. I couldn't take them down. I mean, I probably wouldn't have tried to, you know, just being smart. But they took my laptop. I never got it back again. It was gone forever. I still don't know where it is right now. Someone in Australia is probably using it, having a great old time. They probably bought it for $20. But anyway, there's a feeling you get when you've been robbed, unlike any other feeling. And there's nothing you can do. You can't go back and get that thing. It's been robbed. There's a bad feeling that's associated with the feeling of being robbed. And as you know, or maybe you'll find out now, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job description. He wrote his own job description, and he's very simple. Steal, kill, destroy. So stealing is actually 1/3, 33.33% of what he's focused on. That's the devil's job. He wants to steal from you. I often wonder how, and this is just an insight into my brain, I wonder how the devil structures his organization. Like, I wonder, does he have like an executive team of demons, or does he have like a CEO demon? Do they have monthly board meetings to talk about how everything is going? Do they talk about, September was good. You know, we've got killing is up 3% and stealing's up 15% in New Zealand. That's really, like, I wonder how the devil strategizes to steal from you and I. Because I know it's his agenda. His agenda is to steal from you. Jesus, his agenda is to give you life and life more abundantly. Someone say amen. But the devil wants to steal from you. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. But I've found that the one thing he really loves to steal is actually your identity. He'd love to take your identity from you. He'd love for you and I to go through this thing called life and never actually discover who we are in Christ. He would love it because we go through life and we never really discover who we are in Christ. So we never really do what God's called us to do. We never become who God's called us to become because we're so busy trying to become something else, a lie. He knows that if he can take your identity, he can take you. And he also knows that rather than having to take your identity, if he can just get you and I to find our identity in the wrong things, he won't necessarily have anything to steal in the first place. So there's so many different things that we can find our identity in that's actually not of God. And I wonder if just maybe we've learned some wrong ways in life to identify ourselves. I have to ask the question of myself and of us. You know, like if I'm defined by what I do, then I'm always going to have to be doing something. I'm always going to have to be doing something more. I'm never going to be able to stop. Because if I'm not doing something, then who am I? When you meet someone, what do you ask them? What's your name? And then what do you do? You don't really ask people, who are you? It's kind of a weird question. Hey, I'm Bill. What do you do? Who are you? It's just weird. Like, it's a weird thing to ask. Like, who are you? But I wonder if we've just become so accustomed to asking, what do you do? We've kind of subconsciously programmed ourselves to be defined by what we do. I'm not saying don't do anything, just a side note. So at 9:05 tomorrow morning, your boss doesn't ring you. Hey, where are you? I'm at home. I'm watching Netflix. Pastor Drew said I don't have to do anything. You want to come over? Dude, I'm your boss. No. Like, I'm not saying we don't do anything, but I'm saying we can't be defined by what we do. If I'm defined by what I've succeeded in, then I'm always going to need more success. But if I find my identity in my success, then I lose my identity in my failure. And again, side note, we should succeed in life. Come on, we should succeed. If you are a salesperson, you should be the best salesman, saleswoman in your company. Come on, succeed in life. God wants you to succeed. If you're playing sport, go out there. Do your very best to succeed. There's nothing wrong with success. But success, if mismanaged, can become the subtle God that sits on the throne that only God was supposed to sit on. And it's possible for you and I to find our identity in our success. If I'm defined by my popularity, I'll become a people pleaser. I'll be all about appeasing people. And that's exhausting. You and I can't live that life. If I'm defined by affirmations, then I'll become a member of AA, which stands for Affirmations Anonymous. My name is Drew. It's been 4 days since my last affirmation. And I just really need someone to tell me I'm good. Because it's 4 days. Like, that's 96 hours. Plus some change. I mean, I need affirmation. You know, to me, affirmation, I'm not down on affirmation. I love affirmation. Affirmation is like chocolate. Come on. People don't like chocolate? Come on, let's be real now. People like chocolate. If you haven't had chocolate, have Australian chocolate. It'll blow your mind. Import it. Pay 3 times the price per pound. It's worth it. To me, affirmation is like chocolate. I love it. I appreciate it. I'm not addicted to it. Thank you, Lord. But I don't need it to survive. And I can't survive off it. You and I can't be formed. We can't form our identity just off affirmations. It's possible for you and I, especially in Southern California, the good-looking people capital of the world, to find our identity in how we look and our appearance and become obsessed with it. And again, side note, I'm not saying you should, you know, cancel your gym membership and, you know, throw all your makeup away, girls, or whatever. I'm not saying that at all. You know, we're the good-looking church. We are good-looking. Look around you. You're sitting with a bunch of supermodels right here. Come on, anybody single? Come on, raise your hand, look around. There you go, other single people, also good looking. People say we're the good looking church. And that's good, we should look good. But you can't find your identity in how you look. Because if you find your identity in that, you're actually going down a pathway, you're actually entering into a mission that you actually can't accomplish, you actually can't win in. Because you'll never look the way that you, because it's a moving target. You'll never get to where you think you should be. We can't find our identity in that. If I'm defined by what other people say about me, then eventually I'll become what other people say about me, if I allow it. if I allow it. You know, it's amazing what such a small comment can make on somebody. It's amazing. Man, like when you're a kid, someone who you admire, someone who you're close to, just says, man, you're a loser. Oh, you ain't going to amount to anything. It's amazing what that can actually do to somebody. A tragic thing I noticed in high school was as soon as a girl was labeled promiscuous, that girl became more promiscuous. Never once would they stop. They would be labeled, and then unfortunately, if they allowed it, they would live down to that label. Whether we like it or not, words have power. There's this saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a ridiculous saying. Who comes up with these things? Like, who wrote that? I didn't even know. It's stupid. It's almost stupid as how much wood chuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck? I don't know. Depends how much he's got. Depends how much time he has. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if implies he may not even be able to chuck wood. The statement is flawed. It's stupid. Who cares how much wood a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Stupid saying. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is stupid. Just a show of hands, crowd survey. Anybody here ever had a broken bone because somebody's hit you with a stick? Anybody? Statistically, there's two people out there that's happened to. But maybe tonight there's none. Okay, nobody. No one in here has ever had a bone. Someone fell out of a tree, but the tree didn't hit you. So technically, not to get in the details, that's on you, not on the tree. Anybody, just anybody, I'm just wondering. Anybody ever just been in an argument with somebody and then they've thrown a stone at you and broken a bone? Or anyone had a bone broken by a stone thrown at them? No one. Goliath's in the corner. He's like, actually over here. Oh, we do. We have someone. Okay, what happened? Hit you. That was an accident though. You were behind him. He was trying to hit somebody else. That's like if David and Goliath, like David has a misfire. So technically that doesn't count. Sorry. I'm sorry. I got to make a point. The sticks and stones is a flawed statement. It's ridiculous. Words will hurt you. Words will hurt you. And here's the thing. The closer somebody is to you, the more weight their words actually have. The more their words can hurt you. But this is the thing, okay? Can the words hurt you? Yes. But what happens after the hurt? Do you allow the hurt to become an offense? Then do you allow the offense to become a label? Then do you allow the label to become your identity? Because what someone said to you many years ago doesn't have to get to the place where it's actually forming your identity. That thing someone said to you all those years ago when you were a kid, and they hated themselves, so they decided they were going to hate on you one day. That doesn't have to be who you are. Come on, maybe you were the girl in high school that said, man, she's promiscuous, and that has never left you. Well, maybe it can leave you tonight. Maybe you can find your identity in what the Word of God says about you. And we've talked about a lot of ways bad ways you can find your identity, but I want to talk about some good ways you can find your identity. Because I'm telling you, if you find your identity in this right here, this is the Bible, the Holy Bible. I'm telling you, this thing tells you more about you than every Cosmo magazine in the whole world, or what your girlfriends want to tell you, or whatever. This has your identity written all through it. And the devil can't argue with the fine print. The devil can't argue with black and white in writing. Let's get into this. God says, you're a masterpiece. God says, you're a masterpiece. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So someone here needs to know this. You are actually a masterpiece. When God made you, he was thinking masterpiece. The devil wants you to think that you're a mess, but God wants you to think that you're a masterpiece. The question I have to ask myself and everybody here tonight is, do you see yourself as that? Do I see myself as a masterpiece that God thought of, that he actually planned with his team of visionaries that they thought about the idea of a Kaylee or a Carlo or a Lindsay or a Ruby. They thought through the idea. They thought this would be a great masterpiece of a person. I like this idea. Let me ask you this. Have you ever bought a Picasso painting? Anybody? No? Surprised. We had someone that fell out of a tree, but no one had bought a Picasso painting. Someone had an accidental stone incident, but no Picasso painting. All right. Would you ever buy a Picasso painting, take it home, put it up on your wall, hang it there, and then go to Hobby Lobby and pick up some paints, some paintbrushes, maybe some decor on the way out? You know, 40% off coupon is insane. It's basically free. Shout out Hobby Lobby, Christian company, amen. I love it. Shop there, do it. You go home from Hobby Lobby. You go back to your Picasso painting, which is perfect. It's original. It's an original Picasso painting, worth millions of dollars, I'm assuming. I'm not an art guy, I don't know. It's a Picasso painting. And you get your paints from Hobby Lobby, and you just go ahead and you, I don't like this about this painting. I'm going to change that. Now, you know, I'm going to add that there. I'm going to move that away. You know, my neighbor has a similar painting, and that part's red, so I'm going to change that to red to be like his. And what you've gone ahead and done with the Picasso painting is you've completely devalued it, not because you're a bad painter, but because you've taken what's original and turned it into a cheap imitation of something else. I wonder if we find our identity and we forget that we're actually made to be a masterpiece. I wonder if someone here has forgotten, or maybe no one's ever told you, that God made you a masterpiece. God made you original. Don't die a cheap imitation. I think when you and I understand that we are a masterpiece of God, we can't help but have our identity shaped and formed differently. God says you're a masterpiece. God says you're not a mistake. God says you're not a mistake. Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God really thought it through when he thought about you. He really thought it through. He thought, man, I want one of you. Or if you're a twin, he wanted two of you. Congratulations. You beat the rest of us. I'm kidding. God actually wanted you in this world. That has to radically shift your mind if you believe that you're a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. You know, you may have been told by somebody that you're a mistake. Maybe you've walked around your whole life believing, yeah, and maybe you've buried it so deep down that you don't really even know it. But you believe that you're a mistake. Maybe your own parents told you, man, you're a mistake. Maybe your cousin told you, man, you're a mistake. Your parents, they were dating back in 1997. It was date night. They went out to dinner. They went out to the movies. They saw Titanic, 1997. And you know how Titanic rolls? You know what happens after Titanic? Your parents just went on a date night in 97. They watched Titanic and they went home. And she was like, I want you to draw me wearing this. Yeah. Wearing only this. Yes. And then one thing led to another. And then 9 months later, here you are. Yeah. You're just a mistake. One thing led to another. Somebody here's been told the lie. That you were a mistake. Your parents may have created you biologically or scientifically, but God actually thought about you. He actually thought you were a good idea. He actually thought, I want one of them. So anybody here who's been told you're a mistake, let me tell you tonight, you're actually not. God doesn't make mistakes. If you go to heaven, there's no big sign that says, workplace health and safety. We're celebrating 12 days since our last accident. There ain't no accidents in heaven. God didn't make a mistake. You're not a mistake. Don't live with that label. Don't live with that label. God says you're unique. Isaiah 64, verse 8. Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are the work of your hand. No clay pot is exactly the same when made by the hand of a potter. Your fingerprint is your fingerprint. It's not somebody else's. You are uniquely you. And there's so much freedom. There's so much freedom and there's such a sigh of relief. And there's so much weight off your shoulders when you realize that man, I am actually uniquely me. I don't have to try and be somebody else. I don't have to try and be Matt McConaughey. Emma may like me too. Yeah. I don't know, yeah, Matt McConaughey, yeah. Yeah. I just got this accent. I come from the South. I'm sexy, you know, I'm so sexy. I got a six pack. Yeah, I got like 4% body fat. I'm sexy, you know. I'm Matt McConaughey. See, I can't be Matt McConaughey. As much as my wife would like me to be Matt McConaughey, I can't be Matt McConaughey. I'm sorry. But Matt McConaughey can't actually be Drew Davies. And I know that keeps him awake at night. Matt, if you're listening to this on podcast, I'm sorry. Just be you. Just do you. You know, the greatest thing you can do for yourself is stop comparing and just do you. Just do you. You can't win somebody else's race for them. Because you are never supposed to win that race because it's not your race to run. Be unique. God says you're unique. So when someone says you're different, it's actually a compliment. When someone tries to put you in the box of what you should be in high school, you should be like us because we're in this little box. This is what we do. This is who we are. Understand that you're unique and that you're supposed to stand out in this world. And being salt and being light, it's actually a compliment when you and I stand out. It's actually a compliment when we are labeled unique or different. Worship team can come on up. God says that you are forgiven. God says you're forgiven. You see, the devil wants you to form who you are based on your sin. Wow. He'd love that. Yeah. He'd love it for your mistakes to mold you. He'd love it. That's his favorite thing. He'll rob you of your identity from your sin. He wants you to look in the mirror and see sin. He would hate for you to look in the mirror and see the forgiveness and the grace of God. He wants you to hang on to that thing, that sin, that mistake. But if I'm defined by my sins, if I actually allow my sin to form my identity, then essentially what I'm saying to God is that your grace isn't sufficient. Essentially, I'm saying to Jesus, hey, I know about the whole cross thing, but I think what I did was too bad. So I'm sorry. But that was a waste of time for me because I'm just too bad. I'm too far gone. I'm too far gone. But Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Riches of his grace. His grace has no limits. God's forgiveness has no limits. There's a song called Amazing Grace. It's not called Limited Grace. No one would sing that. They wouldn't have sold a bazillion records of it if it was Limited Grace. It's called Amazing Grace. And God's grace is a crazy concept, really, when you think about it. It's hard to really understand in its entirety. Because essentially it takes Mother Teresa and it takes Hitler and it puts them on the same playing field. Because grace will make up and forgiveness will make up for our lack. So you could do really well in life. You could be a great person. You could score a 90 out of 100, for example. That's pretty good, I think. And grace will make up the 10. Grace gives you the perfect score. Then you could be a really bad person and you could score 10 out of 100. And grace comes along and makes up for the rest. When you really understand the power of God's forgiveness, the power of his grace, it will completely change your identity. God's grace will change your identity. And see, under grace, you'll see yourself as being a humble, imperfect sinner that just needs forgiveness. I need forgiveness. I need the forgiveness and grace of God. And people think, well, you know, won't people sin more under grace? I don't know. I think people would sin less. I think people would sin less. You see, forgiveness actually inspires me to do what's right. It actually inspires me. See, grace changes you from the inside out. Grace is a heart changer. Law will tell you something to your head, but grace will change something in your heart. The forgiveness power of God. Law changes your mind. Law makes you say, I'm not allowed to do that, which is good. Come on, there are laws. Okay, let's not have that night where I preach about grace and you think that laws don't apply to you, because there are laws for a reason. Like Chris Rock said, laws are made for a reason. Think of them as hints. That's a Chris Rock quote. Look it up. So I'm not saying that laws should be thrown out. It's good to live your life with boundaries and all that stuff. I don't want you to take this grace message out of context at all. Please don't. But law changes your mind. Law says, I'm not allowed to do that. Grace changes your heart. Grace makes you say, I don't think I want to do that. Law makes you frustrated about these boundaries that you feel you must stay within. Grace makes you excited about staying where you know you should be and not going to places that you shouldn't go. There's no rip-off on grace. I've never regretted sin that I didn't get into. Never. His grace is so good. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. You see, you may see your weakness as a problem. You may see your weakness as like your failures, but God sees them as an opportunity. God sees your shortcoming as an opportunity for His forgiveness, for His grace. If I find my identity in my sin, in my mistakes, then I'm inevitably going to live my life in regret. If I let my sins form me, my identity. For me, regret in its simplicity is just the inability to forgive yourself. And if you don't understand God's forgiveness, you won't be able to forgive yourself of something. And I've found that unforgiveness always has a compounding interest effect, meaning that the unforgiveness that you hold against yourself for that small thing that happened 10 years ago, year after year after year after year, builds up to be bigger and bigger and bigger. What do you think you may need to forgive yourself of tonight? What thing has happened in your world that's it's formed your identity? Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's allowed their sin or their mistake to label them and to form who they actually are. Maybe there's someone that you messed up. You messed up and you did something really bad. 10 years ago, you got a criminal record for DUI. And so every day you look in the mirror and you think, man, I'm just a drunkard. I'm just a criminal. That's a label that's been put on you. Maybe there's someone here and you messed up and you had an affair, and so you've been labeled an adulterer. And so you carry that label. Every single day you carry that label and you look in the mirror and you don't see that God's forgiven you, that your spouse has forgiven you, and that you can move on and have a beautiful life and have a great marriage, but you've allowed a label to define you. You've allowed a mistake or a sin to actually tell you who you are. God says you are forgiven. God says His grace is sufficient for you and I. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, that's the goodness of our God. Amen. God says you have new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's probably an excited time in the service right there. I'll read it one more time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Jesus didn't come to improve a part of your life. He came to give you a whole new life. He didn't come along just to improve part of your personality. He came to give you your whole identity. If you're worried about who you are and not wondering who you should be, it's all found in here. And maybe the devil came along, and maybe he smashed into your place, and he took from you your identity. Well, let me tell you something. The devil doesn't get to win that fight. Not today, devil. Not today. Because the devil doesn't get to tell you who you are. That high school teacher doesn't get to tell you who you are. That cousin doesn't get to tell you who you are. Nobody gets to tell you who you are because God has already told you who you are. The Word of God has already told you who you are. And God says, I'm a masterpiece. God says, I'm not a mistake. God says, I'm unique. God says, I'm forgiven. God says, I have a new life. God says, I'm the head, not the tail. He says, I'm created in His image. He says, I'm the victor. He says, I'm justified. He says, I've been set free. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. Oh, He says, you're so loved. He says, you're a child of God. Somebody say amen tonight, church. Thank you, God. I'm not sure where you're at tonight. All I know is that God so desperately loves you, and He has such a beautiful plan for your life. And we're going to close up the service in just a minute. I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. I want to ask the question tonight. Are you close with God right now? It's really difficult to know your identity if you don't know your Creator. Pastor Jürgen always says, you'll never know who you are until you know whose you are. Maybe somebody here tonight has forgotten the fact that they are actually a child of God. You're a son and you're a daughter of God. Maybe you've never actually met and had a relationship with Jesus Christ before. So tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask that question. And listen, if you're far from God, if you're not walking with God, if maybe you've completely lost your identity in the world, you're not even sure who you are anymore. You look in the mirror and you don't even recognize yourself because you're so far. If that's you, right now, I want you to put your hand up in the air so I can include you. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. If that's you, if there's anybody else here tonight, I know there's somebody else in here tonight. You're far from God. You're disconnected from God. You're so desperately wanting God to find you and to meet you. You've forgotten. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. God, who else is there? Thank you. I see your hand. Who else is there? Who else is there tonight? Who else is there tonight? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. You can open your eyes, church. There's about three or four people that just raised their hand just then. So what we're going to do in just a minute, I'm actually going to jump off the stage right now. And for those of you that raised your hand, I want you to do something really brave. I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you, if you know them, grab their hand, and I want you to bring them down the front. I want to pray with you. So come on. For those of you that raised your hand just then, we're all going to stand to our feet. I'm going to jump off this stage. I want you to come down the front. Come on. If that's you, if you put your hand up just then, or maybe you know you should have put your hand up then and you just did it for some reason, come on down the front right now. Come on. Give Jesus one more shout. This is why we do church, right here, this moment, right now. I'm so proud of you guys. So we're going to do this. We're going to pray a prayer. And we're all going to do it together. In fact, many of us, if not all of us in this room, have prayed this prayer at some point. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and let's all repeat this. Let's all pray this together, shall we? Let's go. Dear Jesus, thank you for hanging on a cross for my sin, for my shame. I accept you as my Lord. I accept you as my Savior. I find my identity in you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Come on. Amen. I'm so proud of you guys for coming down the front. What I would love for you to do just in the next 5 minutes is just over here we've got Caleb. Caleb is, he's actually a hand model. That's his hand you can see in the air. It's a very good hand. It's one of the best hands in the world. He's a hand model. But apart from being a hand model, he's actually part of our ministry team that want to take a moment to just to pray with you guys. There's a team of people with him. He's going to give you a Bible and a gift and just to take 5 minutes with you just to help you. So if you could just turn to my left, turn to your right, and just go there really quickly, and they're going to pray with you. Come on, church. Let's give them a round of applause as they go. Amen. So we have about 4 or 5 minutes left, and I'm going to get the band to sing that song. And listen, if you need prayer for anything tonight, anything at all, we're going to open up the space down here. We're in a movie theater for a few years, so we never had this little carpeted area up here to pray for people. If anything I said tonight meant anything to you at all, or maybe you need prayer for something else, or whatever it may be, I want to open up this for the next few minutes we have left. I want you to come and get prayer. Maybe you've lived with a label for way too long. Maybe you've allowed something someone said to you to penetrate your heart and hurt you. Listen, you can leave that on this altar tonight. That label that someone else gave to you, maybe that label you've even given to yourself that you can't seem to let go of, you can actually leave that behind up here tonight. That's how good our God is. So come on, band, worship team, let's sing that song one time. And if you want prayer, come down the front. We'd love to pray.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.